Today on Real Life Radio.
What about Hitler? What about Stalin? What about, listen, they're going to bow. There's going to be a whole host of people in hell that will bow, and they're going to be upset about it, but they know, oh man, he's the one. And then there's going to be you, I pray, and you're going to be saying, yes!
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now, Part 3 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. This portion of Scripture not only shows how much God loves us, but it also expresses His deep desire for our salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lord over all the heavens and earth. Therefore, all of mankind will one day submit to Him, not by force, but by choice. What is the definition of lordship? Well, it's a title of authority that Jesus, quite frankly, has always held, but it's our decision whether or not we allow Him to be the Lord over our lives. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus Christ, when He rose from the dead, that's really what matters most. It was His passion to go to the cross. He knew by dying in our place that sin would no longer separate us from God. Eternal life awaits all those who believe and put their trust in Him. And now here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When we talk about observation, if something is really, really clear to us, we would say it's going to be visible to the naked eye. And I want to challenge this statement right now. Visible to the naked eye. Listen, how naked is your vision of things that are happening around you and things that you know? By naked, I mean pure. According to God, God says He reveals Himself to us, all of us, to the person in this room with the greatest faith, to the person in this room that claims to have no faith in God. The truth of the matter is God is revealing Himself to you. In that sense, there's no place to hide. The staunch atheist today struggles with the existence of God. The believer in God simply enjoys Him. The evidence, I believe, is overwhelming. Somebody might say, well, you can't show me evidence that proves God's existence. Yes, I can. Number one, I will lean on the Bible where it claims there of itself 27% of the Bible is God speaking about the future in advance before it happens. Bible prophecy. God tells you in advance what's going to happen. It happens. And Jesus said these things were written down in advance that when they happen, you will know that I am God. God tells the future. That's a fact. What about design? What about engineering? There's nothing that you and I enjoy in this world from the orange or avocado trees outside to the chair you're sitting on, to the clothes you're wearing, to the very body that makes you you, that has not been designed, that does not speak of a designer. You are more complex than anything that this universe can display to the naked eye. You, just your eyeball alone, is a miracle. And you know, you and I grew up where we were told that when we were whatever we were, what does somebody say? We were goo. We were goo that climbed out and we were goo that went to the zoo and then became you. So we rubbed our eyes. Remember when we were a thing, whatever that thing was, we rubbed our face. And we were told we rubbed our faces, or our face with two little flippers or whatever. And the continuous rubbing formed two eyes. So no, come on, let's just give them that. So we got two eyes going. And then we rubbed until we had two ears going. And we did everything else, and we got everything else going to this too. And so we evolved, and here we are. You got all this rubbing going on. And then here's this thing. It's us, and we're doing great. And we just happened to wake up to the realization that right alongside of us, that the exact same sequence was the female version of what I am. It just so happens that she was rubbing her eyes, her face at the same time, and she rubbed the side of her head, and she got ears too. And at the exact same time, we turned and looked at each other and said, oh man, you're awesome. Let's get together and make a lot of little mores of what we are. Listen, if you believe in evolution, how in the world did you get two things of the opposite sex not only maturing exactly the same at the same time, but they both looked at each other and said, I think you're hot. at the same time. Male, and God says, I created them. Boom, bang, male, female. There you go, God says, I did it. Male, female, wham. Is there evidence for that? Overwhelming evidence. Think about it. One is a huge leap of faith into an abyss, and the other one is a clear, naked eye observation of the created works of God. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the creator, he is Lord, and if he's my Lord and your Lord, then he can handle the rest of our lives. He can take care of it. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Therefore, he says in verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted him. The context is all about Jesus. He was crucified. He came. He was born of a virgin. He left heaven for us. God has highly exalted him. The word highly exalted here, compound word in English, is one word in the Greek language, and it means to elevate in the presence of others. Jesus Christ was elevated in the presence of mankind, in the presence of angels. Listen, be very careful. He wasn't elevated to become greater. He was great and came down to earth and humbled himself to the point of death. Having died for us on the cross for our sins, he was resurrected from the dead, and as a man, the God-man, no one has that position or that place, and no one ever will. What an awesome thing that is. The word highly exalted carries with it at least two significant messages. Number one, he came down that he might be exalted. He humbled himself. Number two is the fact that it speaks of crucifixion. He would be crucified. Christ would die. The unique, amazing work of Jesus Christ. Now listen, his crucifixion is a matter of historical record. It's a fact. There's a lot of people running around today, I don't believe Jesus ever existed. I don't know what to do with a person who says something like that. I mean, that's kind of scary. Because that's willful ignorance in light of the facts. Jesus actually lived. Ask the Roman Empire if Jesus lived. Ask the Jewish world if Jesus lived. He lived. He was real. But people today are denying his existence, which is an amazing declaration of ignorance. Truly, it's bizarre. But people are saying it. He existed. Well, what's even better than his existence for us right now, you and I right now? Him having existed is great, okay? It's great. But let's be honest, it doesn't benefit you and I. I mean this with all due respect. In all honesty, the fact that Christ exists and went to the cross doesn't benefit us until or unless he's resurrected from the dead. Amen. Now, all of a sudden, as the Bible says, if he be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. What does that mean? If he be crucified and lifted up on a cross, all mankind must consider him. The answer to his lordship in your life might be yes or no. That's your decision, and you're responsible for it. He is Lord over his kingdom, but he never pulls out his sword and demands that you bow. When the Bible says, and we'll see it next week, trust me, we're not going to make it, I can tell right now by the time. When the Bible says every knee will bow or should bow, it sounds like it's a suggestion. Well, would you like to bow or not? No, the word clearly means every knee will bow, and every knee will bow not by force. Every knee, including Satan himself. Imagine his bony, wicked, demonic knee. Willfully bowing, and he's going to say it, and he's going to mean it. What about Hitler? What about Stalin? What about, listen, they're going to bow. There's going to be a whole host of people in hell that will bow, and they're going to be upset about it, but they know, oh man, he's the one. And then there's going to be you, I pray, and you're going to be saying, yes! Not only, listen, I'm making this part up now, so hang on. This is not the Bible. Not only am I happily willing to bow in eternity before Jesus, but I sought to do that every day in my life as a Christian on earth. You see? It's a joy. It's a willful thing. You will willfully, by convincing, bow to Christ later. I suggest you do it now. Find him now. But by virtue of the fact, resurrected from the dead, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3, verse 15, that when Peter was preaching, he says, and they killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. That's awesome. Eyewitness accounts, not just by Peter, but by many hundreds, if not more, at the very crucifixion and resurrection. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16 says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables." We didn't follow, as Christians, a very slick, brilliantly prepared scam to rip people off. "When we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Did you know by an eyewitness account, people are either convicted or acquitted? Eyewitness accounts, did you know that it's very important to you that your eyewitness account matter? Did you know that? Did you know if you're called into court, your eyewitness account of the events can determine a person's life or death? Freedom or imprisonment? Eyewitness. The Bible gives us everything logically and reasonably for us that we might come to an understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. But do we believe it? The exalted Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me that in Acts chapter 2, for example, verse 23, Acts 2:23, it says, "Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God." Everybody mark that down. Jesus did not get himself killed. Jesus didn't make a mistake and Rome arrested him and things got out of hand and he got killed. There are many books at Barnes and Noble's that says that very thing. The Bible says Jesus was crucified by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Did you know Jesus came because that was the plan for him to go to the cross? "Whom God," foreknowledge of God, "you have taken by your lawless hands and have crucified and put to death." Verse 24, "whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Let me try to paint this for you and allow my clumsy illustration. Every human being would die and their body would be put in the grave. And watch, and as it were, the grave would not only, of course, consume their body, decay their body, rot their body, but the soul, the spirit of the individual would be swept or sucked down into Hades or to hell. And I'm speaking prior to the resurrection of Jesus. Where did Abraham or Daniel or Noah go when they died? The Bible says they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. It's a weird term. It means Abraham's comfort. What could that possibly mean? The Bible tells us that there, prior to the resurrection of Jesus, there were two places where, as the Old Testament would often say to the prophets, or Joseph, for example, "You lived a very long life. You will be gathered to your fathers." Have you ever heard that term when you're reading your Bible? What is this, gathered to your fathers? That they would go to Abraham's bosom or Abraham's comfort. It was a place where the believers went. It was a place, paradise. It was not heaven, but it was paradise. There was no suffering there. It was nice. It was beautiful. It was amazing. That's where the believers went. But it was not heaven. In fact, when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," it's a very key word Jesus used. Translation, "Today, thief on the cross, because you believe in me, you're going to be with me because I've got somewhere to go. And I'll take you there." By the way, it's kind of fun. Watch this. Jesus, at his death, in spirit, now goes to Abraham's bosom. The Bible tells us in another place that he preached the gospel and led captivity captive. What is this, led captivity captive? Imagine Jesus, again, I'm giving it to you in illustrative forms, okay? Imagine Noah and Abraham and Daniel and all those cool guys. Jesus announces, "I'm the one. I'm the one you guys prophesied about. You guys ready? Here you go." And in a word, he would have lassoed them up. He took captivity captive. Those that were captive, in other words, those that were in place in Abraham's bosom, Jesus gathered them up, like a conquering general would, by the way, but like the Roman Empire. And he takes them out of paradise. And then and only then were they allowed to enter the very presence of God, because we had to have a forerunner. We had to have someone go ahead of us. You've been learning about him on Sundays, the great high priest. The priest must go in first before we get to. Jesus is that high priest. He packaged up all those believers and he led them into the presence of his Father in heaven. From that moment on, every believer that died never went to paradise again. They went straight, as Paul said it, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you die today as a believer, you do not go to paradise, you go to heaven where he is. And the guy that spent the shortest amount of time there was that thief on the cross. What a deal. I mean, just a layover. Imagine. Jesus dies first on the cross. I don't know. Gabriel, maybe Michael, the archangel, hands the guy a little boarding pass. When you die, you're going to go, you got to lay over in paradise for about 5 minutes. And then your final destination will be terminating there in heaven. Welcome aboard the non-smoking flight of Air God. Wow. Jesus Christ awarded us heaven in the resurrection by his merit, by his work. And we're grateful for that. We're thankful for that. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, now it came to pass when the time had come for him, that's Jesus, to be received up, I love that verbiage there, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Did you know that's an Old Testament prophecy fulfilled? See, what does this mean? When it came time, listen everybody, Jesus Christ is your Lord. And this is what he does. When it came time for him, he knew what was coming. When it came time for him to go to the cross and then to ascend to heaven, he didn't run from the pain, he didn't run from the shame. The Bible here in Luke 9:51 says he went to Jerusalem. That's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 50, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7 is an amazing statement, as the book of Isaiah is. And again, we're studying that on Wednesday nights. Isaiah's statements, this guy, Isaiah, the Holy Spirit would come upon him and he would speak. And he's not an easy prophet to understand, but there are statements that he makes that are so gloriously clear that it's shocking. But you and I live on this side now of the resurrection. Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Speaking about the Messiah, nor did I turn away. Think of Jerusalem. I gave my back, willingly, that is, gave my back to those who struck me. Did Jesus do that, ladies and gentlemen? And my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. That's brutal, gruesome, bloody work. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Sound familiar? Sounds like we're reading the New Testament here. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set, the word is hardened, fixed, anchored my face like flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. Jesus Christ God in human skin, feeling everything that you and I feel. He felt the breeze. He felt the heat. He felt the cold. He felt the shame. He felt the pain. Was not deterred. I'm going to the cross. It's going to cost me my life. As God, I'm going to a place I've never been. I've never been locked in a body, in a human body. I've never known what it's felt like to have your hands and feet pierced with nails. I've never been, I don't know what it's like to have my back laid open and the beard with a stick twisted in my beard and my face, my cheeks plucked out of my jaw. I don't know what that's like, but that's where I'm going. And I'm going to do it for this reason. I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them. Our God saves. You have a bigger, better God than that? Remember growing up? My dad can beat up your dad. Remember growing up? Boy, did we all get our dads in trouble as kids growing up. Remember that? Do kids do that anymore? Is that illegal? When I was growing up, that was the deal. And my dad could beat up any other dad. My dad taught judo. So when I said, my dad could beat up your dad. I had one kid tell me one time, it was amazing. I said, my dad could beat up your dad. The kid goes, so what? It caught me off guard. He said, I said to you, my dad could beat up your dad. And he said, my mom can beat up my dad. Then I understood, and I backed down. If this statement blesses you, then it came from God, and if it doesn't, then it's then I wrote it. And I put this down this morning. Jesus never once viewed the cross as a sad thing or the wrong thing. It was his passion to go to the cross. He knew what was on the other side of the cross. That was his resurrection, which would secure heaven for every person who would trust him for it. And it's true, you know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, knowing. And I had to pause there reading this verse. Knowing, do I? Do I know this? Do we know it? If we know this, has it affected us? If we know this, has it changed us? Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, will raise you up also from the grave. So when that body died, the grave held that body. Because you and I are sinners, our souls were guilty. And so the grave had all of its tentacles wrapped around us. But when Jesus died, the grave couldn't hold him. Imagine for a moment, imagine Jesus is now, he dies on the cross, he's laid in the tomb, and death is upon him. Watch. Death is upon him, and the power of it is all around him. It's surveying his body, and it's looking for handles. It's looking for a way to latch on. The grave is trying to grab, trying to find a crack, trying to find a handle, trying to find something whereby the grave could hold him down. And it couldn't find anything. The grave, as it were, came to the edge of the pool and was clawing, trying to get out, and couldn't grab onto a thing. And when Jesus rose from the dead, because the grave had to expel him, he was perfect. That very power that raised him, because of your faith in Christ, not in yourself. I heard some knucklehead, world-famous knucklehead on TV say, if you just have enough faith in faith, you will, you know, his thing. I wanted to shake my TV. You understand what, you understand? That statement's insane. You are to never have faith in faith. Faith is what takes you to the object or the one that you're to trust in.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you make the choice to follow Jesus Christ by accepting his love and forgiveness in your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as war and conflict intensify across the globe, where can we as people find hope in the future?
Jesus said there'd be days just like this that would preempt the final days of his physical return. That's the second coming of Christ.
Never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with biblical prophecy. And there's no one better to share that with us, the reality of the Bible and its link to current events, than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's got a new book called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. Now, in this book, you're going to discover how things are falling into place, just as the Bible predicted thousands of years ago.
What do we want to do? We want to look to the Bible and find out how it ends, right? Don't you want to know?
You can learn about what's coming up next in the prophetic calendar, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays, prophetically, in all this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.